Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. I want to make sure you know the rest of the story when it comes to Zacharias and Mary. And then just one time read through Zacharias' song. Remember that the rest of Luke chapter 1 tells us that after Mary found out that she was pregnant with John, she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And then in the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel appeared to Mary and told Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she sang her song after going to the hill country of Judea to visit her kinsman, her cousin Elizabeth. You remember that? She went to Elizabeth 6 months pregnant. And when she greeted Elizabeth, John in Elizabeth's womb leapt, filled with the Holy Spirit, already bearing witness to the Messiah. And Mary sings the Magnificat. She sings her song. And then Luke, it's not real clear after Mary sings her song. He says, and Mary stayed there with Elizabeth for 3 months before she returned. And then he moves on with the story of the birth of John. And it's not clear whether Mary was there when John was born or not. It's hard for me to believe, the little bit that I know about pregnant women, that she would have stayed for 3 months right up until the time that her cousin Elizabeth was going to have that baby and then leave. I like to think that Mary was there. She saw John's birth. She heard Zacharias' song. And what an encouragement that would have been to Mary at that point in her life. But regardless of that, in verse 57 of Luke chapter 1, we read the story of John's birth. And let's go ahead and read this story real fast. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, that they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. And they made signs to his father. Maybe he was, not only could he not speak, but it sounds like maybe he couldn't hear. They made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in their mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. And now what follows is in poetic form. And Zacharias, remember, has had 9 months to think about this, right? He's a priest. He knows his theology. His mind is filled with the Old Testament. He's heard Mary sing her song. And he's ready for this day. And he says, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us. That's the key word. We'll talk about that Sunday morning. It's a key word in this psalm, and it's a word that carries a lot of Old Testament freight. He has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. As he spoke by the mouth of his prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the redemption of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. There's the word again. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our way into the way of peace. Now, we're going to spend the next three Sunday mornings on that song that we just read in verse 68 through 79. But this evening, having read it for the first time, I just want to make some big picture observations. The first and the most important is this. Notice that Zacharias's focus is on Jesus. He's nine verses into a 12-verse song before he mentions his own son, John. He's praising God for sending the Messiah, for Jesus. And after tipping his hat toward his boy John, he goes right back to singing about Jesus, which is remarkable to us, isn't it? Because we know that Zacharias, the priest, had longed for a son all his life. He'd been praying for a son. He thought he'd given up hope on it. And now he has this baby boy, and his family is around him rejoicing, but he's not singing about his son. He's singing about Jesus. And that's an important lesson for us to learn, that at Christmas time, it's not about you, it's not about yours, it's about Jesus. And Zacharias models that focus for us. But aside from that, as I think about the birth of John, the faithfulness of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the response of the people, and especially Zacharias' song, I find myself jotting down three characteristics of how we should respond to the birth of Jesus. Three ways that we should celebrate this holiday. Three things that should mark our observation of the birth of Christ, of Christmas. I'm going to just give them to you, and then I'll walk through them slowly. This is a season for reflection and wonder and praise. First, reflection. You understand the word, to reflect, to ponder, to think deeply, to meditate. Well, this text calls us to thoughtful reflection in a number of ways. First of all, when we think about Zacharias's 9 months of silence, and we try to imagine what's going on in his mind, having encountered Gabriel, heard that message, and then he can't speak. It seems like maybe even couldn't hear for 9 months. Can you imagine all that's churning in his mind? The Lord gave him a required 9 months of reflection before the birth of John, this important occasion. And then the way Luke tells the story, he provides for us what sometimes we call a narrative pause. So the storyline takes a break, and Zacharias sings his song. So Luke himself is saying to you and to me, as we read the story, you should stop and think about this now. Right? Stop And think about this with Zacharias. Because what God has done in the birth of John, the forerunner of the Messiah, is something that we should ponder, we should think deeply about, we should meditate on. It requires reflection. That's why I like to listen to the news on a certain radio station, because when I watch TV or listen to news on other radio, it just comes at me 900 miles an hour. One story to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And I like to listen to it on public radio, because when one story finishes, they'll play just at least about 10 seconds of music to let me think about it before they move on to the next thing, right? Well, this is what Luke is doing in a sense. Think about this. Because what's happening here is so significant, it calls for reflection. 9 months of silence. I dare to say that there are people in this room that maybe have gone a whole year without 9 minutes of silence. And so in this season, we need to be meditating on this story, memorizing Scripture, maybe memorizing one of the great classic Christmas hymns. Some time for silence and reflection. And similar to reflection is wonder. The birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Christ, has such a depth, there's such complexity here, there's so many emotions in these stories, that in a lot of ways we struggle for the words. We have a hard time understanding them. We're always in over our head when it comes to the Christmas story. And that's why Zacharias and Mary and later on Simeon, they all resort to poetry. Brueggemann, the great Old Testament scholar, wrote a book one time called Finally Comes the Poet. And his contention was that in Scripture, when matters get so deep and emotions so raw, when the things the text is talking about are nearly impossible to get our minds around, then the Scripture text almost always defaults to poetry. Because that's what poetry is about. It's condensed truth, right? It challenges us to reflect and to wonder, to acknowledge that a simple sentence is not going to do here in describing and understanding and grasping what's going on with Zacharias and Elizabeth and John and Mary and Jesus. Look in your hymn book there in front of you at hymn number 80. Hymn number 80 is a Christmas song that Christians have been singing for maybe 16 centuries. This is a 5th century song from the Eastern Church. And look at just the first verse. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. You see, hush up and think about this. Reflection and wonder. I think the wonder, the mystery involved in the incarnation is why so many Christmas songs are marked by questions. Do you ever notice that? Do you hear what I hear? What child is this? Such a babe in such a place, can he be the Savior? Mary, did you know? When we sing about this stuff, we have questions because of the depth and the complexity, the richness of what's going on. And so, and again, in this way, we realize that the old devil moves us in the exact opposite direction we need to be going. Because Christmas tends to get noisy and busy. But the text calls us, when we're celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Christ, to have a season of reflection and wonder and praise. And let me show you this emphasis on praise. Look at verse 64. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Now, I believe that the best way to read the text is, when he began to speak in praise of God, what he said is verse 68. So his mouth is loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. And then Luke goes ahead, he goes on and finishes the story, and then he tells us what Zechariah said. His word of praise, his song of praise. And 9 months of silent reflection and wonder, what's the first word out of Zacharias' mouth? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. It's a word of praise. And so Zacharias teaches us that when we consider the faithfulness and the power and the grace of God that delivers on the promise of his Messiah, then our response, our thoughtful response, is to praise his name. Bless the Lord God of Israel. Similar to when Jesus, at the end of his ministry, rides into Jerusalem on that donkey and the crowds are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're praising him as the Messiah. And when the religious leaders say, Jesus, you need to hush them up, Jesus says, I'll tell you what, if they remain silent, the stones will cry out. It's the appropriate response when we've reflected and considered who he is. A season of praise. Now, this moves to our expectations at Christmas time. What are you expecting here in the next 3 weeks? You know, 3 weeks from now, it'll all be over. It'll be Christmas night. Are you expecting warm, fuzzy feelings? You might be disappointed. Are you expecting family and friends and festivities? It might end up frustrating you. But if you're expecting a season of praise, that's something you can accomplish. You can find your heart fulfilled. And Zacharias, Luke, helps us to understand as he crafts the story that we respond to the birth of Jesus with reflection and wonder and praise. I took a nap today, which makes it a good Sunday. I took a short nap, and I actually, before I go home Sunday mornings, I'll refresh my memory on the Sunday night sermon, and then I'll go home and eat lunch and take a nap, and then come back and do it again. And so I had just looked over this stuff, took a nap. When I woke up, I was thinking about Luke chapter 2. After the shepherds have made their way to the manger, remember? The angels appear to the shepherds, tell them about Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Go and see. And Luke tells us that when they go and see, they also tell Mary and Joseph and everybody else is around all that the angels had said and sung. That this baby, Mary and Joseph's baby, was the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And right there in the text, verse 19, 20, 21, we read that Mary pondered all of this in her heart. And that the others wondered at what they heard. And then the shepherds went home. Do you remember what they were doing on the way home? They were praising God. It seems like Luke wants us to pick up on this, right? We respond to the birth of the Lord Jesus with reflection and wonder and praise. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word. Thank you for the way, by your Holy Spirit, you inspired Luke to put this story together with such a depth and truth, accuracy and artistry. I pray, Father, that this Christmas you'd help us to move deeper as we reflect and wonder and praise, that you'd help us to understand better, that you'd open our eyes to see what we have not seen before, that you'd help us to appreciate in a new and better way all that we know about you and all that you have done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, and that we would be servants who are listening. I pray, Father, for each person here that you would give us grace here over the next 3 weeks to have a time of worship and celebration that is marked by reflection and wonder and most of all, praise. Lord, give us the mantle of praise this season. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. If you need to make public response, the invitation is open.